There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And this is where you need to stop by and say hello to Ron and Nancy, Angelo, and the pups today. And two kind of pups. We got the four-legged pups. We got the hot dog pups from Dewdrop up front. And this is going to be a... it's already busy in here, but it's going to be a busy Friday, Angelo. I have a feeling.
It's going to be real hectic, and I'm looking forward to it.
This is good. Okay, let's talk about a couple things. Number one, when people come in, this registration here, the prize pack that you're giving away. Let's talk about that.
Pretty cool prize pack. So you can come in and register once every day.
Okay.
Until the
morning.
Once per day. Till the morning of the 20th.
Okay.
We've got the regular rules and details and all that stuff. If you come in the store, we'll tell you about that. You're going to get the stuff from Mobile Bay Coins, half carat total weight set of diamond earrings, open L pocket knife, one of those cool engravable Christmas rounds or the regular engravable rounds that we have, and some other jewelry. And then our neighbors, Nature's Nuances, threw in a cool gift basket of soaps and body scrubs and all that kind of stuff that they make right there here in Midtown. And then Tanner Pecans, with all their pecans and fudge and the sweet treats that they do right here in Midtown as well, they threw in a gift basket too.
Fantastic.
Okay, everybody gets it all. One person.
That's what I like. I like that too. You get the whole super prize pack. So when people walk in today or tomorrow or next week or whatever, they just look for the registration box. And
we've got the tickets right there. Just name and phone number on one side. Okay. The other side you keep. Throw it in there, and the drawing will be the afternoon of the 20th.
You know, I'd like to be able to start off the show and say, I walked in here, and the thing that was dominating most of the activity in Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry was this. But it's everything. I mean, I've been over here. Of course, I'm cozied up next to the Open L Knives, but that's just part of what's going on.
Well, you look at all the different stuff we've got going on, from the Open L Knives to Tony doing some custom jewelry for some customers, all the engravable pieces we were selling as you were walking in the door, the cool pop culture holiday rounds, Star Wars, Disney, Mickey Mouse, all of that kind of stuff, the old silver, the gold coins, all of those different things, and then you tie in all the different thousands of pieces of jewelry we have. There's no one thing that you can say, yeah, that's the cool thing here in the shop. It's all pretty cool.
It is cool. I'll talk for a second, though, on the way to customize gifts. You know, there's giving presents and there's giving gifts. You know, my cockamamie theory about this, right?
Well, it's one of those things that there's a lot of stuff that people go out there and they get, and it's one of the thousand other things that are just like that. And you give that to somebody and they go, well, thank you. And you can tell you didn't strike with that one.
Yeah.
It's like a swing and a miss, but you know, I tried to do something, but you walk in and you do something like the person behind you, whose name will not be mentioned, is doing, where he's getting one of the Open L knives customized.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty impressive right there.
And you can do that, and that they know, number one, they're fired up because it's the Open L knife.
Sure.
But number two, like that's what I think makes it a gift versus a present, that extra step.
Well, to me, it's the thing that, okay, I gave that to somebody, and they show it off to their friends and their family. And so every time they show off that set of earrings that you picked out, or they show off that Open L knife or that cool engravable round, every time they do that, you win again.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is that thing that's the gift. That's the one that wins the prize. And even for the Dirty Santa stuff, we've done things as fun as those Trump rounds, because Trump is one of those very polarizing figures right now. You either love him or hate him, right?
Right.
So you take that into a Dirty Santa gift.
Okay, let's talk about the Trump rounds.
Okay.
Like, ballpark on those.
$22 a piece.
Okay, so it does fit in with what usually, if people do Dirty Santa.
$25 or under.
Yeah, that's usually Dirty Santa, right?
Yeah,
and it's $25 or under, so it fits that.
Fits it perfectly, and somebody's either going to be dying to get it because they want it, or somebody's going to be dying to get it so somebody else can't have it.
Right.
And that makes it a great party. Makes it a great gift.
That's brilliant. So if y'all are faced with your company Christmas party, and that's coming up very soon, you got to do Dirty Santa, You'll probably come in here and get hooked up with the Trump. But that's just a little bit. You have these rounds, too, that you can get if people are coming from different military service or they have different interests. They can get that for that person and then have it engraved to them.
Exactly. So it's customized. We have these Christmas rounds, Christmas bars, and other themes as well. So if you come in now, give us a few days. It is starting to pack up. It's getting a little hectic here. But that's okay. We've got time. And and for you and I, that means not coming in Christmas Eve to try that one.
Right, right.
But you can get their name, their initials, something really cool put on it. We actually sold out of the white-tailed deer.
Did you really?
Because we've had it's deer
people
season.
For shooting their first deer.
First deer, have their daughter's name, has their son's name
that's
and the date on
idea.
It. Stuff like that, like you said, that's the gift that keeps going on
that's
forever.
It's a real keepsake.
Right. It becomes a keepsake. It becomes something you pass on. You know, somebody does that for their child. Well, then when it's the grandchild's time 20 years from now, 25 years from now to go hunting, guess what? They're going to be looking to do the same thing all the way.
A family tradition. It's fantastic. All right, let's talk to if people have been under a rock all these years and don't know how to find Mobile Bay coins and find jewelry. Welcome in here so they can get here, have a hot dog with us, and visit today.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. We're in between Whataburger and Little Flower Catholic School. Pretty much everybody knows where those two places are. Bounce between the two. We're on the opposite side of the street. We've got the 106.5 van sitting out front. It's sitting next door, actually, because we ran out of room in the parking lot.
Yeah, so if you see where the van is, if you're looking at the building, you're looking at the van, we're to the left.
Correct.
Yeah, because the parking lot was full and we got moved over. That's good.
Got to make room for the customers. Not that we don't love having you here, but we love having the customers.
That's right.
Shop.
Okay, we want y'all to come on by and tell you what we'll do, too. The next person that comes in, who's not already in here, I'll hook you up with a copy of the Oldsmobile Trivia book from Malcolm Steiner. This is another great gift item, and it's a very Mobile thing, just like everything going on here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So stop on in and say you heard about it. Oh, and we got Huggers as well.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got Huggers as well. We're putting together already another prize pack for you as you show up. So stop by. The next person walks in through the door, we'll hook you up with the book. We'll hook you up with some of the Huggers. Now, these are Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry Huggers. They're in green, so I'm taking this one right.
I don't see anything. It's
it
yours,
was
man.
A 5-pack of Huggers. It's now a 4-pack of Huggers, so you need to come on in. Be here. Grab the goodies. And coming right back, State Senator Chris Elliott joins us. Can you believe they're still talking tolls? Yeah, they are. We'll get into that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry on this Friday. As we're hanging out with the whole crew, Ron and Nancy and Angelo and the pups. Two kind of pups, the puppy dogs here. This is fun. It's not every day I get to do a radio show and get to pet on dogs while I do it. I like that. At the same time, we're hooking you up with Dewdrop Hot Dogs. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit. And you know you're in the right place, so stop by and say hello today and make sure you get in for that big prize drawing. And let's say the new run of FM Talk 106.5 Huggers. We've got those. Also, some Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry Huggers, plus those old Mobile trivia books. So make sure to stop by and see us today. All right, I mentioned before we went to the news break, we're joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, and an early Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you and yours as well.
And this is, you know, this is, I know we're going to be talking a lot between now and February, and then obviously in February once everything gets cranked up in Montgomery. But you and I were saying, the other day in a conversation, for folks to know that the sausage making is going on now, even though session is not until February. I mean, y'all are talking Goat Hill right now.
Oh, you better believe it. I mean, I've always said if you're designing a play right as you snap the ball, you got a problem. You need to go ahead and have your play designed well before the season ever starts.
So, I want to get into that too a little bit later in the conversation and talk about that, some of the things that that you've seen, you know, on the radar and things you might expect to come up in this year's session. But I do want to talk before we go any further about I was listening to Jeff Poore, and Jeff Poore had Phil Williams from now with the Alabama Policy Institute on, and they got in a conversation. It's a subject I don't know if you've heard of about tolling on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project.
I heard that, and of course, a bunch of people sent that to me, and I thought, man, is this ever going to go away? Are we ever going to get to talk about something other than this? But this is something that continues to pervade, and something we're going to continue to have to stay vigilant about.
Okay, I would, and there's a lot of parts of this we can talk about in the macro view, but I want to go micro for a second on this because he referred to you specifically by name in this, as Phil Williams was talking about the reaction of the people in South Alabama to the proposed toll. And he called you out by name, and he said, I don't know how many, I'll paraphrase here, how people in South Alabama were, whining about the toll down here?
Yeah, and I put a call into former Senator Williams this morning to make sure I understood exactly what he was saying there. And we had a very good conversation. I didn't necessarily like how he phrased it, but I think at the end of the day, you know, he's looking at this, and Sean, we talk about this all the time, you know, with some North Alabama glasses on. And mm-hmm. and I think sometimes it takes, you know, somebody from South Alabama really explaining the exact situation we are in and what we're dealing with. You know, he referred to Interstate 10 as a regional road on the radio yesterday, and I kind of took issue with that, as you might expect. The Interstate 10 is 2,406 miles long, goes from California to Florida. That doesn't strike me as regional.
No.
And certainly is very important for our economy of the state of Alabama with the port, the manufacturing distribution warehouses we have in the area, et cetera. So far from regional.
But I thought his
conversation with Jeff was fairly principled, and at least we're talking about issues as opposed to just talking past each other with a bunch of rhetoric.
Well said. And part of this, that's what I was getting to, is part of it, and hopefully we'll talk to Phil at some point in the future, the idea and the discussion of tolls being a conservative idea or a liberal idea, I like that discussion and going forward, looking at new builds and those kind of things. But it was like he was applying this textbook version of fiscal conservatism to an issue that is not in a vacuum. We're talking about, like you said, a federal interstate that is not a regional road. It is not a new route to get from A to B. You might be adding in a part of it, but you're not, the route has been there. And so he almost was like ignoring the facts that made this whole subject come up. I mean, right now he's trying to teach it like it's an equation with just a B and a C in it, when he was talking about something that's anything but simple.
Exactly, and that was one of the things that frustrated me. I mean, when you start talking about when ALDOT starts talking about tolling existing infrastructure, I've read him into some of the facts about what ALDOT had proposed down here, you know, non-competes on improving the causeway or any other competitive route. The fact that the toll was proposed by ALDOT, you know, because the limitations on other roadways was proposed by ALDOT because they wanted to guarantee revenue from the P3 concessionaire. I think that once you start making sure you talk to folks like former Senator Williams, explained to him some of these nuances, I started to see him kind of come around on the particulars of this issue.
Okay, I want to get to one of the things in that interview Jeff had with Phil Williams. They got into a discussion of revenue coming back, something that we've talked about with you so many times, and that is the situation for your district in Baldwin County and the amount of money that goes back to Montgomery. We're talking about, we can talk gas tax, we can talk sales tax, we can talk lodging tax. I mean, Baldwin County is one of the very small flock of golden geese in the state of Alabama.
Absolutely, and I brought that up with him in particular. You know, he said that other counties felt like they were generating a good portion of tax revenue. You remember him saying that?
Yeah, he said they felt that way. They felt that way.
And I told him, I said, you know, Phil, no offense, but I'm not concerned with how they feel. I'm concerned with the data. I'm concerned with what they're actually doing or not doing. And for instance, I can guarantee him that there are a number of counties that are net beneficiaries of what the largesse we're producing here in Baldwin and in coastal Alabama as a whole. I mean, our research has shown that we generate about $80 million a year in federal and state gas tax revenue, and we see a fraction, like 20 to 25% of that back every year. And that's just untenable. I mean,
that's not how you feel.
We have a network of roads across the state, and we need to be able to get from one place to the other, and that requires some subsidy. But 75%, 80%, absolutely not.
Right, and it's not just that you feel that that your district, Baldwin County, are pumping money in the system. The numbers bear that out. And you're right. I mean, we're not going to be in a system. It would be silly to say all the dollars are going to stay just in the places where they're collected, because then we would have a patchwork of a state for infrastructure. Some areas would be absolutely third world, and some would be, you know, top shelf. But you're right. There should be more of it staying in the areas that's collected. And almost, I would make an argument, both of us have talked about this before, from a business sense, if you have part of your business that outperforms the other parts of your business and you're looking for the new year where to invest capital into, you invest capital, you put money into the places that make you the most money back into the business.
Exactly right. And that's how you grow the pie for the rest of the state. You don't grow the pie by giving people a bigger slice of pie. That's the wrong way to approach it. Invest in the areas that are kicking out dividends, and that is Baldwin County, that is Mobile, it's Limestone, it's Lee, it's Shelby.
So, with that being said, there's, you know, maybe going forward, there's another discussion here, and that's one of the things that if there was a brand new build, you know, and that's a part of it, because it's not like I can say I wholeheartedly 100% disagreed with what former Senator Phil Williams was saying, but there are big portions of it I'm right on board with you. But yeah, on a new build, maybe it's worth discussing if it's something extra. I think he said an add-on or something, that maybe you do toll those things and let people decide if they want them told. But to go into an existing way of travel and putting a toll on it, I think they learned their lesson on that one. I think they're probably still smarting from that.
Well, and Senator Williams and I talked about that this morning. Let's talk about the Baldwin Beach Express North, right? There's a local constitutional amendment in Baldwin County that deals with that. It starts at the northern terminus of the Baldwin Beach Express right there at I-10, and it goes north from there to I-65. It is specifically limited for that roadway and only that roadway. And if the people of Baldwin County decide to set up that toll authority, then that will be where that road goes. But it's for a new road, it's for new infrastructure, and there's a completely adequate way up and down 59 for local traffic to continue to travel. That's an appropriate use of a toll. But tolling on an existing interstate that runs 2,406 miles, can you tell I looked that up since I heard it called a regional road this morning?
Yes.
That's inappropriate. That's not what we should be doing.
Yeah, and it's inaccurate.
And that's what
it's inaccurate to call that a regional road. And if you're just joining us, talking to State Senator Chris Elliott, you know, and you mentioned something there about the tolling on this, and I was just on a recorded podcast yesterday. It's going to be running on, but podcast host had a couple of us on to talk about. John Sharp was on. I was on to talk about biggest stories of 2019, and, you know, wholeheartedly 100%, it was the tolling. But I pointed out, because it started, you know, in January of this year, that I first had my real eye opener, maybe like January 7th or 9th. I forget when it was on the show, but I had some MALDOT officials in, and that's when they said, well, you know, we will also be tolling the Wallace Tunnel. And to me, if there was a keystone to this whole thing, if there was a linchpin to the whole thing, it's that part of it. It was the fact that what you just said, you have a currently existing roadway, you're not tolling an additional part, you're tolling the whole thing to pay for the additional part. I really think it's that one part of this whole discussion that they didn't, that they miscalculated on.
Well, and again, and I think Senator Williams will appreciate this with API, this is where the market should have said, guys, you got too much project here. You can't afford it. When you're having to lump in everything else in order to make your business model work, you got a problem, right?
Yeah,
I mean, when you're having to put grandma's inheritance in there, and you're having to, you know, put everything on your balance sheet in order to get the, you got too much project, and that's exactly what happened here. They threw everything in the kitchen sink in it to try to make the numbers work, and that is when everybody, you know, the Montgomery folks should have taken a step back and said, this isn't going to fly. We simply cannot. We can't. The project won't support itself, and therefore we don't need to go forward with it. They should have done that without a question.
You know, maybe this goes back into one of the bigger problems, I think, in our political discourse today, is there's no nuance in it. It's either you're all in or all out. You can't agree with one part and not the other part. And that's one of the frustrations here, because you'll hear people from outside our area say, well, y'all are just against having a bridge built or having expanded infrastructure. And I go, whoa. No, we're not. And that's where I'm scared, is it's almost this binary discussion coming out of Montgomery. Either you want the deal that was offered from MALDOT. Obviously, y'all don't, so you don't want any kind of infrastructure improvement. It's simplistic, but I'm scared that's what they're going to try to throw back at us.
Well, Well, and that's where you do a very good job, and Jeff Ford does a very good job of trying to get into the nuance with thinkers like Senator Williams, and I'd like to put myself in that category.
I put you in that category, too.
We can talk about some of the nuances and try to figure out what is an appropriate use and what's not. I just know that I-10 is not an appropriate use for it, that we certainly have proven that. And we
but
need
you
to,
agree we need
to
help.
Move on from that. We need to,
but we have to do something.
The only way for this project to move forward is using the large amount of gas tax that is generated in Mobile and Baldwin County.
All right, hey, can you hold on?
We're to pay for a simplified project to get this done without a toll, without exception.
Hey, can you hold on for a second? We'll run the news break.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, coming right back. State Senator Chris Elliott, our guest. And when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about this subject and, you know, kind of the real numbers behind this. Also, tomorrow's Bicentennial Day in Montgomery. We'll talk about that as well. Y'all stay close. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Make sure you stop by and see us. We'll be here through 2 o'clock, although the whole crew will be here today, and then tomorrow again on Monday. Your chance to win some great, great, big giveaway. When Angelo hops back on with me here in a second, he'll talk about all the goodies to give away. I can tell you this in the short term, though. Fantastic hot dogs from the Dewdrop, fully dressed hot dogs from the Dewdrop, or you can get them in a plane. Those are here. Make sure you grab one of those and some FM Talk 106.5 goodies and some of these Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry huggers while you're here. And make sure to check out what's new from OpenL. And, yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You look at it. Bullion, you want to buy bullion, you want to buy rounds and get those engraved. You're looking for collectibles. You're looking for great jewelry items for Santa. They got them. We'll talk more about that as we roll on through the next hour and a half. I want to continue our conversation with State Senator Chris Elliott. And, Chris, let's start off a conversation that was one that Jeff Poore had with Phil Williams. And Phil basically, like you said, he was looking through his North Alabama lenses, right? I mean, is that fair to say?
I think so, yeah. And that's something we face, you know, every day in the legislature and continue to see it. We'll change your mind one day. It just won't be today, Sean.
But you know, there, and it would be easy for me to hop on here and go, you know, full-born, say, every dollar produced down here and all these lodging taxes, sales taxes, and gas taxes should remain down here. That's not right either. I mean, there's a way that, you know, states are set up to take care of the entire state, right? I mean, we're all in Alabama, but you make an argument. It's not that you want to have the entirety of those taxes that are raised here stay here and not go to Montgomery, but you think the ratio would tell folks what kind of percentage right now is leaving our area and heading to Montgomery.
We're looking at about 75 to 80% that is collected here in Baldwin County and to some extent Mobile County that we just simply never see again. It goes to subsidized roads elsewhere in the state of Alabama. And again, while
huge.
I need to get to Lee County, you know, I got to go to my Auburn football games, when I got to get to, you know, Montgomery and Huntsville and other places around the state, you want good roads to travel on. But there's a limit to that. And sending, you know, 75 to 80% that you never see again, it's just too darn much. There's no question about it.
You know, as we look at this, the gas tax issue here, I mean, this is one that, you know, passed and it will go up over time, has this built-in where it can rise with the cost of building roads. But that is, the way I understood it, is to keep up with projects as we can envision them now. But, you know, you can't expect for major new constructions, and I don't know if you want to call those toll roads, like, they're not vanity, but they're extra, right? They're something that you don't have to, they're not essential roads. They just make life better.
Exactly. I mean, and again, we talked about the Baldwin Beach Express before the break, and I think that's an appropriate use and probably not something that should have been envisioned by the gas tax. Conversely, the I-10 Mobile River Bridge is exactly what should have been envisioned by the gas tax. It's
right.
Exactly what's happening with I-59 in Birmingham. Those types of things are exactly what we were envisioning when you start talking about what is that stable base ALDOT funding level, and that's exactly how those projects should be funded.
All right, let's talk about Montgomery. Well, first of all, let's talk about tomorrow. It's a parade to celebrate the Bicentennial with no throws.
Yeah, I heard that, and I thought, boy, we, yet some other thing we need to export to North and Middle Alabama is the concept of a parade where people that come to see the parade get something more than your smiling face. So I'm going to smuggle some moon pies up there and see if I can give them out and break the rules.
I can only imagine. I mean, I know what y'all have an idea of what y'all work on as state senators and reps and dealing with the executive branch and all the things that happen before session, all the discussions and the meetings and committee meetings. But it is going to be the highest density, I'm sure, of Montgomery politics. And just be honest with me, going on up there tomorrow.
Probably so. I think there'll be a lot of conversations, and there's a lot of things we're looking at, from prisons to mental health issues to education issues. A lot of the big, you know, big furry issues that need to be dealt with in the state. I mean, we're last or next to last in all measures of education. We've just got governance problems that need to be worked through. We've got a looming prison problem with a federal judge that's ready to federalize the whole system and stick us with the bill. We've got mental health issues that need to be addressed. And then, of course, my favorite is our Go Mesa money that I've got a bill that will keep it in coastal Alabama and make sure that it doesn't run off to go be spent in Cherokee County for shoreline erosion that leads to some little creek.
Hey, don't be so sure that they don't have a they already got it earmarked for something up there. But I do want to talk about the first thing. It is not popular. We can talk lotto, and that's what everybody wants to talk about. Before we do, though, let's go unpopular. Let's talk about the prison reform, because I feel like I have been saying, you know, the sky has fallen for the last 5 years, and the sky hasn't fallen. But now everybody's saying the sky has fallen. Eventually this axe falls, right? I mean, the judge's decision, or the federal receivership, if we don't do, I mean, there is a deadline, isn't there?
Well, there is, and we kind of skated it last session, and I think that the
how did that happen?
Feds,
can you give people like a quick version?
Wise to let us do that so that we could get a plan. There was no consensus last year. We would not have come up with something that would have worked. And I'm frankly a little bit concerned about how complicated this issue is and whether we can get it done this session as well. You've got a number of different issues to deal with, from prison construction to hiring additional corrections officers to vocational training and other things that will reduce recidivism. One of the problems is we've got a revolving door. These guys come out of prison, they have no skills. They have not been housed well, and that's okay with me. I'm not saying they need to be housed well, but they come out and they have nothing to contribute to society. And 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months into being out, they're right back in prison, and that's just not good for the taxpayer, because it's expensive to keep them there.
You know, but to me, that is like, I look at it almost like there's a medical affliction for our state here. And the acute, the first aid has to be whatever has to be done to avoid the receivership. If that's, you know, is that concrete and bars? Is that building? Is it the mental health thing? And then long term, you're right. I mean, or, you know, we're constantly working on lowering the recidivism rate and trying to keep people out of jail in the first place. I agree. But can we do those kind of softer solutions and keep ourselves from getting taken over by the feds? I've been told by everybody who I think knows what they're talking about, this is serious. It could happen. They show me what happened in California. I don't want to be sitting here 2 years later and go, well, we really, you know, we talked about it forever, but we never did do anything about it.
No, and we don't want that to happen. It's a bad situation any way you look at it, but it could be a really bad situation. So let's see if we can avoid the really bad situation. That's going to involve new prison construction, and it's going to involve the hiring of additional corrections officers. Those are the band-aids, the triage, if you will,
of how
we get out of the opportunity of having the prison receivership.
All right. Up against the break here. We're going to have to get you back on the show very, very soon. I appreciate you checking in with us here on a Friday. And Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you before Christmas Day.
Thanks, Sean. Merry Christmas, y'all.
All right. Merry Christmas. State Senator Chris Elliott joining us right here on Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Love for you to stop on by and say hello and come visit with us. My buddy Angelo, who is busy over there with the ever-growing selection of open-L knives here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, will join us here in just a little bit. I do want to run through what I mentioned with State Senator Chris Elliott, and we'll get him back on the show here soon. Tomorrow, bicentennial celebration in Montgomery. So if you're going to make the run, first of all, just let me warn you, the parade tomorrow, no throws. I don't know why you do that. Like somebody said on the text line this morning, so basically people on the floats will be looking, just kind of staring at the people standing there, and the people standing to watch the parade will kind of be staring at the people on the floats. I don't know why, you know, they take so much from South Alabama, why they couldn't take our way of throwing stuff. But that's, I know that the battleship float is going along with the crewmates. I don't know what other floats are representing South Alabama, but hopefully we'll get some story on that. I do know the battleship's going, so that's good. Well, the battleship float is going. Starts at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at Alabama's Bicentennial, at the Bicentennial Parade, starting down Dexter Avenue, heading to the state capitol steps. It should start around 10 tomorrow morning, get to the state capitol steps about noon, and then I guess it makes a loop and comes back. And at 1 o'clock, Alabama Bicentennial Festival at the Capitol Complex in downtown Montgomery. And then 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Alabama's Bicentennial Concert and Finale Presentation on the state capitol steps. So that is going on tomorrow. I think if you go to the website, if you just Google Alabama 200, and I don't know if it's alabama200.org, you'll get more information on that. Also going on, you've got Dr. Condoleezza Rice going to be in, Ruben Studdard going to be in, special events here that's going on. That's tonight at the Montgomery Performing Arts Center. And then I want to point this out. This came out in a couple places. I think Yellowhammer had it, and also an AL.com story. I think Lita Gore's story. But I'm paraphrasing here. But they talked about who was paying for the big party for our state. So it's our Alabama Bicentennial, right? And but you would figure, well heck, the state should be paying for that, right? We the people, the taxpayers, we're paying for some of it. But it says here, and this is from Lita Gore's story, I think, from AL.com. It says, the state's only federally recognized Indian tribe, the Porch Banda Creek Indians, is paying for a state-of-the-art digital projection and sound show for the finale of the Saturday celebration. The commission did not disclose how much that event will cost. The donations funded grants, exhibits, a bicentennial park at the state capitol, and other public aspects of the celebration, according to a news release from the commission. Daniel Sparkman, spokesman for the commission, said the donations are also paying for the closed-door event. Now, you run down the list, and I will maybe coming up next hour, run down the list of the mules here, the big companies in the state and the big entities that are paying for the state's party, the Bicentennial Party. Yeah, here it is. Here's the list. Alabama Power, Regions, Airbus, Mercedes-Benz, Alltech, Porch Band of Creek Indians are among the groups collectively donating more than $3 million to the state to run our party tomorrow and this Alabama 200 celebration. So let me say this. So one of your reactions might be, good, that's no state tax dollars. We're not having to pay for that. That's the way it should be, Sean. That's the way it's good. That's not tax dollars. Do you remember, can I take you in the time machine? Let's hop in the time machine. And here we go. We got the DeLorean. We get in the time machine. And we go back to, let's say, well, we'll go to the first term of former Governor Dr. Robert Bentley. Do you remember when we had chiefs of staff and Governor Bentley celebrated the fact that the chiefs of staff he had and staff that was working for Governor Bentley, they weren't being paid by Alabama taxpayers? Remember that? Remember how excited? Oh, it's great. I'm saving the Alabama taxpayers money because my people in my office are not being paid by the citizens. Remember when I said that wasn't a good idea then? Remember that? Remember what it, how it played out? Remember Rebecca Mason? Remember that? You know that name? Ring a bell? That was working with Governor Bentley. She was not paid herself by the state. She was... Now, her husband had a cherry job with the state, but she herself was getting money from a pact. A PAC group was paying for her employment. So back during Governor Bentley's time, we had many employees come and go, through there that were not. And the people would call me, Sean, it's just great. He's figuring out how to keep it right sized government in Alabama. He's not going to make state tax dollars go to pay for anybody working in his office. So other groups were stepping up to pay people that worked in the governor's office. So once again, let me point out that while the state of Alabama is not exactly flush with cash, and $3 million is a nice hefty sum to be paying for the Alabama Bicentennial Celebration, for everybody to fall over themselves and get so excited that these big companies in the state are footing the bill for the Bicentennial Celebration, just remember what happened during Bentley. Okay, leave it at that. On a lighter note, it's my buddy Angela.
Hey, man.
Hey, I know you've been real busy, but that's good because folks are coming by and checking out a whole host of things here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and also getting registered for the big giveaway.
Yeah, the big giveaway is the big thing right now. So you're going to get one half carat set of diamond earrings, some sterling silver jewelry, one of those open-all pocket knives we talk about every once in a while, one of those engravable Christmas rounds. That's from Mobile Bay Coins. And then our neighbors at Tanner Pecans threw in some sweet treats, pecans, brownies, all sorts of yummy stuff that it looks pretty awesome to me. And then Nature's Nuances, our neighbor just around the corner, did a bunch of bath and body stuff.
So one person's going to win all this.
And that all of it goes in the pot to one person.
All right.
One single person gets all three prizes.
Okay, so they walk in. It's over here on the left-hand side of the box, and you just write your name down and drop it in?
Yeah, your typical roll of tickets. So one side of the ticket, your name and phone number. Don't need your address. The other side of the ticket, put it in your pocket. The afternoon of December 20th.
Okay.
So still in time for you to rewrap it yourself.
That's right.
Or decide who's getting what, if anybody.
Right.
Then you're going to find out who wins on the 20th of December. And while you're here, check out all the cool stuff we've got. Everything from those open-all knives we were talking about with your friend over there to, speaking of Alabama commemorative stuff, we actually have an Alabama sesquicentennial coin set over here that I have to show you.
What?
Sesquicentennial.
Now that was Pocahontas' younger sister.
That was. That was the illegitimate sister of Pocahontas.
Okay, I was just checking. I knew that from a history book. So that's 150. So
I think that's 150th anniversary. We've got that over there in the case. All sorts of cool stuff.
Well, cool. Actually, if somebody was going to get, if you're going to start having a collection here.
That's a great way to start off. We had the.
I didn't know there was one of those. That's cool.
Well, and we had the City of Mobile. I think that was the 250th anniversary. Was that one?
Yeah.
So we've had
that.
We've had that coin set in here. We have the set over there. So a lot of things have been commemorated over the years with special edition coins, special sets, and we now have customers almost doing the same thing with these engravable Christmas rounds and things like that. So. Whatever it is you're looking for with this Christmas season looming,
yes.
You know, you and I still have a week to go before
yes.
we panic.
But for
you responsible folks?
Yeah, for responsible people, it's getting to the end of their shopping season. They need to get it.
It certainly is. We can handle all of it right here.
Okay. I want to talk about a couple of things. I know this is not, this could be on the Christmas side of it, but I'm sitting here, the way you have me positioned here in the store, I look over at market spot price.
Right.
Okay. This is something we've talked about on the radio show several times. Market spot, what is a spot price on gold and silver? What does that mean?
So, you know, we've all listened to the news with the stock market and things like that over the years. So the market price, the bid and the ask price, that's what people are trying. They're asking for their metals, or they're trying to sell their metals for, on that national level. So a contract of silver is 5,000 ounces of silver, same on gold. So those are the big commodity prices that are out there. So the spot price is the base level on where gold and silver are going to be trading on any given day.
Okay.
So that's almost like
a ticker. I mean, I think
it's the stock ticker.
Okay.
But for commodities.
Okay. So when people come in here and they're looking at buying gold or silver,
right?
And you can suggest, you know,
and we'll
which
talk
one
about
might
what
be
their needs are.
Yeah, yes. But when they look at that, now you're showing them, hey, here today, here's what that's going for.
When I came in this morning, that's what the price was when we walked in and the market started up. Now, it changes throughout the course of the day. Sometimes it's a little higher than that. Sometimes it's a little lower. So we have a separate monitor at my computer station that shows the current market price. So when you walk in and say, hey, Angelo, I'm ready to buy some gold and silver, I'll look up at that. I'll write down the current market prices. And that's when we start deciding what you're going to get. That price is locked in at that moment. If you change your mind and leave, then next time you come in, we start fresh again.
Right. Change it. All right.
Yes, sir.
One thing is, of course, that people need to know, thank goodness, with some help from Angelo and some good folks in Montgomery, that the law has been changed and you're not paying sales tax on money. which is bullion. Or
And that was the big argument, big discussion, is so many people want to get into collectible coins. They want to get into gold and silver bullion as an investment, as a hedge. They're taking their hard-earned cash, and they're putting it into a tangible asset that they have control over and that they are hoping and expecting to go up in value if the economy starts to dip and turn like it did a few years back. So when that happened, a lot of people cashed out their gold and silver, made a profit, and they were all arguing, why am I paying sales tax on that? That is just simply not fair.
I agree with their argument. That was silly.
And I agree 100%. And thanks to your help, we got enough people motivated here in our area to call up there and say, guys, we really do need to, guys and girls, we need to get it changed.
All right. I want to, we'll do this. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We come back, we'll talk more about the great gift ideas here at Mobile Bay Coins. And if you stop on by, we'll hook you up with some huggers. Also, I got a copy of the old Mobile Trivia book for you. Come by and see us.